when we were finishing My Favorite Husband, CBS wanted Lucy to do a television show. There was a lot of discussion at the time of it. Nobody would believe or accept and identify with a woman who was American who was married to a foreigner. And I think just the strength of Lucy's pulling power and performance overcame this, and they decided to take a chance. As a matter of fact, when the pilot film, which was a kinescope, was sent back to New York, the head of the program department, who since remembers the thing a little differently and claims that he loved it, you know, for the first moment he saw it, actually called up and he said, "What are you sending me? This is the worst thing I've ever seen. How can I possibly sell that?"
It's time for My Favorite Husband, starring Lucille Ball.
Jello, everybody.
Yes, it's the Gay Family series starring Lucille Ball with Richard Denning, transcribed and brought to you by the Jell-O family of red letter desserts.
Oh, the big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. Oh, the big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. That's Jell-O.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O puddings.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O tapioca puddings. Yes, sirree.
And now Lucille Ball with Richard Denning as Liz and George Cooper. What's the matter? Did you like my work? Oh. I'll explain this to you.
During the 1949-50 radio season, network revenue dropped for the first time since 1933. Radio ratings had shrunk 30% in 2 years. The U.S. was in an economic recession, and television was becoming a serious threat. Over 100 TV stations were now on the air. Advertisers were learning that production costs for the new medium were much greater. NBC, CBS, and ABC used their radio profits to fund TV. On May 8, 1950, Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz officially formed their own production company. They called it Desi Lou Inc. If the networks and agencies didn't believe in the couple, maybe a paying audience would.
So the same writers that were doing My Favorite Husband, Jesse Oppenheimer and Bob Carroll Jr. and Madeline Davis, they, you know, kind of came up and me with the music and the orchestra leader, and then nobody wanted me to play Ricky.
By nobody, you mean the heads of the network, I would guess?
The network, the sponsors, nobody.
Yeah.
You know, they said, who the hell is going to believe this Babalu fellow is going to be married to this typical American girl, you know? Funniest part of it is that we had been married for 10 years right then, you know?
So how was this thing finally resolved? How did you bump Mr. Denning out of the picture?
You know, George M. Cohan always said that those people out there, the audience, they tell you what's good and what isn't. Mm-hmm. So I told Lucy, I said, maybe they're right. Maybe nobody will believe you and working together, you know. So in those days, I had the big band. And we used to do vaudeville, play the Paramount Theater. And they... So I said, well, the next time that I go on tour, why don't you come with me? We'll do a couple of numbers together and see what the audience thinks of us working together. We worked the Roxy here in New York when we were still there. Chicago Theater. We picked about five or six, you know, cross-country places. And the audience were wonderful. And Mr. Paley, which is the head of CBS at the time, chairman of the board, he saw us on the stage and said, well, the audience seems to like them together, and they have been married for 10 years, or maybe they'll believe that they're not.
At the time,
they don't give you enough credit.
On June 2nd, Lucy and Desi's new act debuted at the Chicago Paramount Theater. It was a combination of vaudeville routine and song. Variety called it one of the best bills to play the house in recent months. The next week, they opened at New York's Roxy to rave reviews.
In the early days, Desi was very hardworking, conscientious, didn't know, as we didn't, whether he could really do this kind of thing at all. But he's a very bright man and a shrewd man. And he caught on very well until today. I think that he's a fine producer and a very good director on his own right. There were some amusing, to me, professional jealousies. It took me a week before I could convince Desi to let Lucy's name be first on the credit. He just couldn't understand it. You know, why shouldn't he be first? And I finally convinced him, I think, as I recall, on the basis of it was the gallant thing to do, you know, let the lady go first. And even then he came back and he said, well, I'll tell you, let's make it alphabetical. And he had a lot of obstacles to overcome. And the original film was sent back to New York, and Milton Beale of the advertising agency, which bought it, showed it to Rodgers and Hammerstein. And they said, it's wonderful, the girl is great, but don't let the Cuban sing. So it was actually written into the contract that he could only sing if it was an integral part of the story. During the first year or so, we made it a point to make his song an important story. In other words, he would be singing and she would be trying to break into the act while he was singing so that he could get the songs on.
There was more good news. While in New York, Lucy made arrangements for a pregnancy test under a false name.
Now to the editorial room of the Jurgens Journal and Walter Winchell.
Somehow, Walter Winchell still got the scoop. Lucy found out she was pregnant when tuning into his radio program. The couple renewed their marriage vows in a small ceremony on June 19th. In October, Cecil B. DeMille offered Lucy a part in The Greatest Show on Earth. But Harry Cohn wouldn't let her out of her contract with Columbia. To spite, Cohn offered Lucy a purposely bad film, The Magic Carpet, in which Lucy played an Arabian princess. She gladly took the role. The film was shot in 5 days, and Lucy was owed $85,000 for the one film contract. Afterwards, she canceled all her commitments besides radio. They were now in serious negotiations for the yet unnamed TV show. Jess Oppenheimer supported Desi, and CBS had a lot of faith in the director.
We did the I Love Lucy pilot during the last season on radio. She was 6 months pregnant at the time. We had a rush to get it done, so we moved right into a whole business that none of us knew the slightest thing about. Here I was producing a television show. I'd never worked one day in a movie studio and knew nothing about film. I went over to the laboratory and asked them to show me through. And in about 2 weeks, I had to find out all the technical processes and what each person does and what he's supposed to be responsible for, what all the different processes cost. And it's amazing that it ever got on the air at all. Because we were going into an industry that was suddenly blossoming and none of the standards had been set at all. When we started Lucy, there was no coast-to-coast cable. And we had an awful time even selling them on the idea of taking it on film. They finally had to put in the contract something about the film had to be equal in quality to the Amos and Andy program, which was the only other one that had been on film.
At Christmas, when word got back to CBS that Ball and Arnaz were taking meetings with NBC, Harry Ackerman greenlit a series starring the couple. CBS gave Oppenheimer a 20% ownership in the oncoming comedy program.
I started off with an idea that here's a man who had been in show business all his life, who wanted to marry a girl who was far removed from him so he'd have a nice, normal home life. And he didn't realize that he was marrying a girl who had never been in show business, always viewed it from afar and thought it was very glamorous, and she wanted to marry somebody so she could get into it. But after very few shows, we found out that we were doing the same story every week where Lucy was trying to get into the act. So we had to just abandon that and go in other more normal domestic situations. But we came very close to getting trapped into something where we could have lost the audience completely.
To keep Desi busy, in January, CBS installed him as MC for Your Tropical Trip, a radio music and game show on Sundays at 3:30. In February, Variety announced that the TV program would debut in the fall from Hollywood. It named Ralph Levy as program director. The couple was originally to be called Lucy and Larry Lopez. On March 2, 1951, Desi's 34th birthday, the I Love Lucy Kinescope pilot was shot at Studio A in Columbia Square. Lucy was 4 months pregnant.
And then finally I did the Lucy audition, which became I Love Lucy. And then I went on for 5 years after that with them, which was a wonderful, rewarding experience, not only in terms of money, but in terms of confidence, which I really needed. Because basically, and I think this is probably true of most people in show business, whether they're writers or performers, it's still true with me, but to a lesser degree now, I was never sure that I could do it again. In other words, I was so happy that I was able to get through last week, and I doubted that I could come up with the right kind of quality for next week. And I can see this in so many people today, Milton Berle and Jerry Lewis. As long as they live, they're always going to have this same feeling, scared to death, that you never get a real solidity where you know that you can do it. And if you do, what you then do is not acceptable, really, to the public, because it's arrogant. There's something about this which the public interprets as an eagerness to please and a hardworking eagerness, but which in reality is a desperate attempt to prove to yourself that you can do it, that you can still make people laugh. The Lucy situation helped me tremendously. But I must, in all honesty, say that every time a script is finished, I'm just delighted, and every time I have to start a new one without an idea for it, I'm in a state of panic.
A second couple was added. They were the older landlord friends of the Ricardos, Fred and Ethel Mertz. Desi heard about an actress named Vivian Vance appearing in The Voice of the Turtle at the La Jolla Playhouse. Jess and Desi hired her on the spot. William Frawley, a veteran of over 100 films, was hired as Fred. The two talented supporting stars didn't like each other. Lucy felt it added a certain sense of realism to their stage quarrels. By March 7th, a kinescope of the pilot was ready, but the technology left a lot to be desired. The show was originally to cost $26,500 per episode. Don W. Sharp got the cold shoulder from agencies on Madison Avenue in a March trip for sponsorship. On March 31st, 1951, the last episode of My Favorite Husband aired on CBS. 2 weeks later, on April 12th, Lucy and Desi appeared as stars on Suspense for an episode called Early to Death.
Now with Early to Death and the performances of Desi Arnaz and Lucille Ball, Autolite hopes once again to keep you in suspense.
What'll happen to Duke?
He'll go down with a plane.
That's the same as murder.
$300,000, I think it's worth it. Does Matt Eby want out?
No, I'll get the money. You call in, Ben.
Right, baby. N71533, calling Veracruz Radio, over.
N71533, this is Veracruz Radio. Go ahead.
Veracruz, we're over the mountains. My oil line is clogged. We're in trouble.
Don't try to glide it through. Bail out. Okay? Over. Hello? N71533, answer me.
Ibby.
I got it, Ben. A full payroll. $300,000.
All right, turn around. I'll buckle a case into your parachute harness. We wouldn't want this to burn up, would we?
You call in the Veracruz?
Yeah, they got the idea. There you are. Come on, baby. Aren't scared to make the jump, are you?
Scared? After all the planning we've done? Let's get out of this thing. We jumped together. I closed my eyes and counted just the way Ben had told me. And then I pulled the ripcord. And all at once, I was floating down to earth. It was all so easy. After a while, I was standing beside Ben, and he was helping me out of my parachute harness. We both looked over at the same time.
So long, Duke.
Ben, do you think we should have strapped a chute on him in case there's...
I left the fuel lines wide open. When they find that plane, it won't be anything left. Come on, Evie. We've got things to do.
We buried the case full of money right there in the mountains, where we'd keep until we came back to pick it up when things were safe. That's the way we'd planned it. 3 days later, we staggered into a town called Acayuca and made like the two survivors of a plane crash. They took us to the hospital in Veracruz, and we were treated for exposure.
Finally, on April 23rd, Philip Morris agreed to drop the Horace Heidt Show and sponsor I Love Lucy for one season and nearly $1 million. Trade papers announced the series would debut on October 1st. In early May, agency head Milton H. Bio phoned Jess Oppenheimer to ask when the Arnazes would be moving to New York. The sponsor wanted the show to be live and had no intention of allowing a kinescope. But Desi, Harry Ackerman, and Don W. Sharp thought the program could be filmed. Jerry Fairbanks had innovated a locked camera technique, and Al Simon a camera dolly system. Desi Lu hired him. Both Philip Morris and CBS initially balked at the extra cost. Desi convinced CBS to allow Desi Lu to produce the series by agreeing to take a pay cut, provided Desi Lu retained 100% ownership rights of the series. CBS agreed. I Love Lucy would be shot in Hollywood on film and in front of a live studio audience. Desi Lu would develop its own production unit in the summer of 1951.
Well, the only was I did it in front of an audience.
In front of an audience?
With three multiple cameras. Sometimes you use four cameras, like you use three here.
They had been doing them live, hadn't they? You were doing it on film?
We always did it on film,
mm-hmm.
but in front of an audience.
Right.
We had never used canned laughter.
Yeah.
Some of our laughter I hear in some other shows.
Now, is that true? I've heard that rumor before, that the audience sounds from your program is still
Well,
used.
You know, you worked in front of an audience most of your life. And, you know, sometimes you get the regulars and you can detect the same laughter.
Right.
But Lucille's mother, you couldn't miss her laugh, Didi. And my assistant director, Jim Paisley. And, you know, he was close, like, around here, you know. So not only did the audience microphone pick up his laugh, but our dialogue mic mm-hmm. pick up his laugh. So we had the dialogue, the laughter, the music, the applause, everything on the same track. With all four cameras coordinating one soundtrack. You know, the first time anybody done that. And that's what made Desi Lu a big success.
Yeah.
In the midst of the careful planning, at 8:15 on the morning of Sunday, June 17th, 1951, Lucille gave birth to a healthy daughter, Lucy Desiree Arnaz. Lucille remembered that the year surrounding the birth of Lucy was the happiest year of her marriage. 6 weeks after giving birth, she went back to work. They needed to start filming in late summer to be on the air by October. They rely on a bevy of talented radio actors like Frank Nelson, Mary Jane Croft, Lawrence Dobkin, Hans Conried, and Herb Vigran.
You moved easily from radio to television.
The transition. Mm-hmm. Well, I was very lucky. You see, mm-hmm. most of us who had done all that radio in the early days of television, all of the producers and directors and writers of early TV were the radio writers and producers mm-hmm. and directors. So I went right into I Love Lucy. Jess Oppenheimer was the producer. Madeline Martin and Bob Carroll were the mm-hmm. writers. They had written My Favorite Husband, which was a show that Lucy had done.
Mm-hmm.
The E. Varden Show, the same guy who was directing that, who was directed an E. Varden show on you know. So all of those things. And so, yes, I made a very fortunate transition. I was one of the busiest guys in the early television days.
They rehearsed for 12 hours per day. Then on the evening of Friday, August 15th, 1951, the bleachers at the Desi Lu studio filled up at 8 o'clock. Desi explained to the audience that they would be seeing a brand new kind of television show. Sitting in the stands that night were both of their mothers, the writers, Andrew Hickox, and a bevy of Philip Morris and CBS officials. To launch the series, the network had paid out over $300,000. They hoped the show would last long enough to pay back the advance.